It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
Are you a tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
The most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
Is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
We were some good lols last weekend. Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends with you every Saturday from 10 a.m. Joey, Jay, Rosie and Emma. Good morning, team. Let's hope we can have a few more giggles this Saturday, hey?
Good morning. It is it's a good one that we chatted about during the week on the WhatsApp, where you rank players in regards to, like, legend.
The standing.
The champion.
AFL great. Club great, and their current players, what class is a superstar and a star? It is an interesting one. We should play the game one day on the show and just pick some names and see what we classify them as.
The question this week is, what do we call Geelong's Corey Enright?
Yes.
And you were adamant about?
He's a champion. He's not a legend.
Corey Enright is a champion.
Yes, he fits in the champion category. Do you agree?
Champion defender Corey
Champion,
Enright.
Yeah.
That's what I went with because you said that was the right description. So that was in the paper. Hey, Mother's Day tomorrow. Quickly, Em. You're being spoiled. You're being pampered.
Didn't even know it was
What's
on
Charlie
tomorrow.
Got in store for you?
Probably not a huge amount. I've got to work tomorrow, so you know what?
Same.
It's not really, I don't know. We might just, I don't know, go to the good bakery and get some good croissants. I don't know. Like, it'll just be, it's not going to be a big thing in our house.
Croissants. You're under the pump, Joey, because Erin's just given birth last week. So you're in the spotlight.
Well, I'm glad at daycare yesterday, Noah made a Mother's Day card. So that's one thing ticked off at daycare. But I'm working as well, doing the Hawthorn West Coast game for Triple M. But I'm taking Noah to the Wiggles tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
I just saw the Wiggles. I drove past Rod Laver Arena and saw the Wiggles were there, so I thought, I'll do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Noah's obviously been feeling a little bit, how would you describe it, a little bit sensitive.
Neglected?
Having neglected, having unloved. Yeah. He's all of a sudden, he's gone from being the favourite child to now the second favourite because we don't live in Florence. So I'm taking him to the Wiggles in the morning. So that's that's a bit of a Mother's Day present for Mum. She can have a bit of a chop out.
What'd you get, Erin, for Mother's Day? A Wiggles ticket. have you got your, what song are you looking forward to most? What's your favourite Wiggles song?
It's on repeat at our house.
Mashed potato.
Mashed potato.
Hot potato.
All them. I know them all off by heart.
And stay tuned for the rest of the Wiggles collection a little bit later on the
Bet you're all really jealous of our WhatsApp chats as well at the moment, you know, talking about the Wiggles and also how to rank champion versus legends. Coming up on the show today, after a huge effort Thursday night, the Fox, Josh Addo-Carr, to check in after his 6-try effort for the Storm. Melbourne United, they have been on a heater as well. Mitch McCarron to join us before their big clash against the Phoenix this afternoon. Of course, Greg Rust with the Supercars update. Thanks to Bendix Brakes. Limo to give us a call as well. It's been great to have him on the show. And $200 up for grabs in our Solar Heart quiz. What are you giggling about?
I got a text from one of my mates who I haven't spoken to in a while. And he goes, mate, I'm going to the Wiggles today. Spring we weren't on the same day. We could have had a drink together.
I don't think it's a place that you can share a couple of
pints. Do they serve alcohol at the Wiggles concerts?
No, it's a hip flask kind of situation.
You need to smuggle it in.
Do you? Yeah, okay. That's good.
Anyways, now, Friday night footy never looked better with a grand final rematch, creating a real buzz around Melbourne. And in the end, the Cats turn the tables on the Tigers. Geelong 63-point winners showing everyone they're right in it for 2021.
The grand final replay Friday night starts.
Bolt window can fly.
Off to Cameron. Another one for the Cats. Measure ball inside, hits Hawkins just inside the boundary. So this will take a spectacular finish from Hawkins. Giving it a chance. That is a good drop punt, as you will see this season. Cameron, is it another one? It is. Oh, the Cats are on fire at the G. There's the siren at the MCG. The Cats with a stunning second half. They have well and truly smashed the Tigers to the tune of 63 points.
That was a fantastic game. I really enjoyed this one. It was Richmond early with the pressure on the Cats, Joe, and you thought, how is Geelong going to get back in this one? But with a 13-goal second half, knocked the reigning Premier out with a 63-point win, would do all sorts of things for their confidence because they've been the Tigers' bunny over the past few years. Obviously lost them in the grand final. So they will come out of this with so much confidence. And it's hard not to think that the story out of this was the forward line. And Jeremy Cameron's third game, he was that left foot snap that he does, he just knows where the goals are. He's a mobile marking threat between him, Rowan and Hawkins. And this was the big gamble from the Cats at the trade period to bring forward that superstar combination. They kicked 15 goals together, that forward line. And get your thoughts on the Cats game plan change in a sec, Joe. But let's have a listen to the Geelong coach, Chris Scott, on that new look forward line and in particular, Gary Rowan's purple patch.
I thought it was going to take a little bit longer to build that cohesion. I'm a big believer in our coaching group is as well, but I mean, we've obviously been conscious not to put a lid on them. You know, we'd like to see it. We've been working towards it, but now that you've mentioned Rowan, he's one of the ones I'm talking about. And he's 150th tonight. If you can somehow get a hold of his highlights over the course of his career, if you looked at them in isolation, you'd think you're looking at the best player in the comp. He has it in him. And I think the other two down there, they're certainly not going to hurt him.
It's a big call.
Wow.
Best player in the competition. He certainly has some electric form at the moment, Gary Rowan. But you called this, Joey, to your absolute credit. Geelong kick and catch, a slow ball movement side last year. They've changed. How do you see it?
Yeah, I was pretty confident going into last night because the writing was on the wall with how Geelong had been playing in the last month. And their ball movement has changed. They are playing more aggressive on offense. They're speeding the ball movement up. And guess what happens last night? Their forwards kicked 15 goals, as you said, between them because of that faster ball movement. I think they had about 10 goals from the back half last night, Geelong. They were playing much more aggressive, and you saw the rewards with the forward line. I really like the way the Cats are going. I know they lost to Sydney, but all the indicators were they should have won that game pretty comfortably.
The execution.
It was just the execution. Even with the loss to Melbourne a few weeks ago, Geelong were doing a lot right. And I think now, after this win, everyone's put them back on the premiership map. I think they'd sort of almost been the forgotten giant a little bit.
Yeah,
everyone had spoken
100%.
About the Dogs and Melbourne. Everyone knows about Richmond and Port Adelaide and Brisbane are starting to come good. Geelong were the sleeper and not anymore. They were awesome last night. That forward line was awesome. And their midfield are still a little bit underrated. Cam Guthrie and Mitch Duncan.
Well, that's why they turned the game, didn't they? Because so Chris Scott drops Reece Stanley. Asava Radagalea comes in. It didn't look like it was working early. But in that second half, I mean, Cam Guthrie in the middle, they beat Richmond in the clearances by 9. That was over the hard pill. We're going to speak about Joel Selwood's incident a little bit later, but that's where they turned the game, I felt.
Yeah, and it was a lot like the Melbourne game when Richmond played Melbourne Anzac Day Eve, where Melbourne absorbed Richmond's pressure early. They just absorbed it, they hung in, and then eventually they turned the tide. And
yep.
I felt it was a bit like that with Geelong last night. Richmond for the first quarter and a half were
hot,
really putting the pressure on.
Yep.
And you're like, this is why it's so hard to beat Richmond. Mm-hmm. But Geelong just hung in there,
yep.
They hung in there, and then eventually it turned. And when the dam wall opened, they were dynamites. And they're really impressive. And now you've got to wonder about Richmond because as bullish as I was on Geelong, there was a little bit of a thought with me about Richmond saying, okay, they had a great second half against the Western Bulldogs.
Yep.
You can't dispute that.
Mm-hmm.
But the first half was only okay. They lost to Sydney. They lost to Port Adelaide.
Yep.
They lost to Melbourne. Is this the same Richmond team of previous years? And now you've got to wonder about that.
So no Grimes last night. They missed him defence. No skipper Trent Cotchin. He was out with a hamstring.
Lambert's an important player.
He's an absolute gun. Shane Edwards copped a knock last night. Let's have a listen to the Richmond coach, Damien Hardwick, for his take on last night's loss.
Geelong were very, very good, and we weren't anywhere near our level of expectation for the second half. You know, we didn't have any clear winners in the second half at all. We've got some quality players out. We still expect to be better than what we were tonight in that second half. You know, Geelong are a very, very good side. They played a wonderful brand of footy. That's why they're one of the better sides of the competition, if not the best at the moment.
Well, I think we're still not going to write Richmond off.
No,
we've learnt that lesson. We've seen
still
that.
The team to beat, aren't
they? Are still the team to beat. I just think this year it's becoming a bit more evident. The gap's closed. The gap is not as wide between Richmond and the rest of the competition as it has been in previous years. And I feel there are a few teams now, particularly Geelong and Melbourne, a few others, and probably even Port Adelaide, that are confident if they played Richmond in a final, which we know is the ultimate test, they probably feel more than any other year they could beat them come final time.
It'd be big.
Not just a couple of contenders, a good handful there heading into the second half of the year. Hey, next, Greg Russ with a Supercars update. Thanks to Bendix Brakes. And we'll take a look at all the sport happening around the world, including the Storm's huge Thursday night victory over the Bunnies on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
The Dead Set Legends. Triple M. Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
And obviously your mother did a very good job because now you're appearing with Emma on this show.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Rusty's Motorsport Update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Yes, a very good morning to Greg Rust from Rusty's Garage Podcast. Great to have you on the show again, Rusty. Now, can we talk about Jack Miller, who won the MotoGP last weekend? But a former world champion says it was a good ride, it wasn't great. That sounds a bit harsh.
Emma, good morning. I agree with you. This has come from Jorge Lorenzo, who's been a champion in various different categories, including MotoGP, so he's got a viewpoint and he's earned the right to that. He feels like Jack needs to work on his consistency and that the win in part last weekend was due to problems, some arm pump issues for a rider in front of him. Now, like anything, you know sport well enough. You get so much confidence from these moments. Jack has really applied himself there. It's been a number of years since he's had a win. It's good for his new relationship with Ducati. I think this is a building block to some great things this year. And there's already rumours, Emma, about him maybe re-signing with Ducati. So they're obviously seeing all the right things behind the scenes too.
And the supercars are in South Australia, Rusty. It's been more than 200 days since Mustang last had a win. Can the Ford drivers get back on the top step of the podium this weekend?
Can you believe it? Nearly 220-plus days, in fact. And the last time they had a win was actually at this venue at Palem Bend in South Australia, which is about an hour out of Adelaide. Beautiful new race facility. Obviously, we've been talking on the show in recent weeks about the dominance of Commodore, mainly Shane Van Gisbergen, and all the way back to kind of Bathurst last year. But I think based on what we've seen in first practice, the ingredients are good for Mustang to kind of swing the pendulum there this weekend.
Rusty, what about Dan Ricciardo? He says he's got to pull his finger out. Is he getting anywhere in the new car? What's the latest from Spain overnight?
You know, I love his honesty in that regard. And for all the smiles and all the laughs and things that he brings us off track, they call him the Honey Badger on track. That's his nickname. So he's the why, because he's just so fiercely determined. So away from the track, what we're not seeing is the way this guy is doing exactly that, pulling his finger out, trying to understand this car better. And that's because we're all focused on his young teammate, Lando Norris, who's third in the championship at the moment. That's his benchmark. Dan knows he's got to do a better job. They've brought a few new parts for that car overnight in Spain, and rivals are already saying they kind of feel like they're taking steps forward. So let's see what Sunday night brings.
Watch out for those McLarens. Thanks for your time, Rusty. We'll speak to you next week.
See you, guys.
Rusty's Motorsport Update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Some Saturday scoreboard news. A bit of NRL action, of course. The Storm on Thursday night. Didn't they touch up the Rabbitohs 50-0? And how good's this? We've got the Fox, Josh Adokar, on the show later on. Can't wait to chat to him. So stay tuned for that. 6 tries he scored, Josh Adokar. Unbelievable. Last night, Penrith defeated Cronulla 48-0. So a couple of floggings. Mm. And Parramatta played a great one against the Sydney Roosters and won that 31-28. Melbourne United in the NBL. They went down to Perth 82-69. Who are their biggest rivals?
They're good Perth, aren't they?
They are very good. And we're going to chat to Mitch McCarron later on as well from Melbourne United. Gosh. They've picked up a big recruit too, Perth, which is going to make it very difficult for Melbourne United to win this title.
Yep.
We know how good Perth are. And they've got the throwdown against the South East Melbourne Phoenix tonight.
It's like
will
the
be
derby, right?
The derby, yep.
Yeah.
A bit of A-League. Western United take on Western Sydney tonight. Melbourne City are sitting on top of the ladder.
Yep.
They're going really well. The Super Netball has started. The Vixens and Magpies both lost last week. And the Wallabies, I remember we had Matt Tamura on the show a few weeks ago. He told us that the Wallabies were going to play 3 test matches against France.
Yep.
Well, that's here in Australia. And the first game going to be July 13 at Amy Park. So that's going to be an interesting one. If you love that, get to Amy Park to watch the Wallabies.
I think we got the national scoop on that. But didn't really realise it at the time.
And we got the national. He wasn't meant to reveal that, but he did on the show. We had breaking news on the show. We didn't even know.
And it was about rugby union. I mean, who would have thought?
Let's get into some footy news with the best newsbreaker in the biz, Jay-Z. Joel Selwood, got something to worry about from last night's game?
There was that bump, wasn't it? The MRO were going to look at it today. So disputed footy in the middle of two players. Reece Mansell there from Richmond. The youngster comes in, Joey, with his head over the ball, completely unprotected. Joel Selwood, inspirational Geelong captain, comes in from the side and he has the correct technique, Joey. So he comes in and turns himself. Now, the issue here is that he's a fraction late. So the young Tiger has his hands on the ball first, but again, with his head over the ball, he's unprotected. Joel comes in slightly late, both hands on the ground. I will be staggered. And he does make contact to his head, and the AFL are all over it at the moment. But I'd be staggered if he gets a week for this. In fact, I think he should be let off. If he does get pinged, it might be fine for high contact, low, and then careless. But I think there's got to be room in the game, Joey, for that accidental contact when Joel's coming in, trying to get the footy and using the right technique. Do you agree?
100%. Yeah, I don't think it's accidental contact. It's incidental contact. He's gone with the right technique, turned his body.
What do you do when the other bloke's not? You know, like
that's not your fault. That's not your fault if the other bloke doesn't have the right technique. So nothing to worry about at all. What about Joel Selwood's contract situation? Because he's out of contract at the end of the year.
Yep.
What is there any negotiations going on there at the moment?
I think he's going to go on for another year. So we know that Geelong have got that older list, second oldest in the competition behind St Kilda, although Chris Scott hates the average age stats. So there is a delicate balance there, is that maybe Zach Tui and Lockie Henderson, although Lockie Henderson, Chris Scott said, thinks he's in all-Australian form. I think Joel Selwood is very open to the prospect of playing on. He was number one for contested possessions still. So number one, he's top two for contested possessions, pressure points, score assists and clearances at the Cats. The age of 32, that is still exceptional form. I reckon he's had one of the best starts to the season in several years, Joel Selwood. So I reckon he goes on. Now he's 15 games away from surpassing Corey Enright's games record. So if he doesn't miss a game, and you think he'd have a rest or two here or there, he would play that in the first final. So imagine if he becomes Geelong's new games record holder in September. That would be absolutely massive. But I think he's very much in the mood to play on again next season, Joel Selwood.
Fair enough, too. No reason to get rid of Joel Selwood at all.
Can we move on to Collingwood? Because it's been another week for the club, including their list manager, Ned Guy, who has, quote, parted ways with the Pies. Can you break this down? Because I don't know if it reads as it does, you get my drift.
Well, it certainly from his perspective, it was his call. And if anything, the wheels were in motion after last year's trade period. We know it was a bit of a car crash. The club was untruthful about the reasons why they were trying to punt Jaden Stevenson and Adam Treloar. And in the end,
they really threw him under the bus, didn't they? Because he was just following instructions from the hierarchy to say, tell the media, tell whoever asked this has nothing to do with salary cap issues.
Which in the end,
come up with another reason. And he tried his best to make it had something to do with Adam Treloar's partner and all these other reasons.
Which was unfair on the family.
Absolutely, it was. It was unfair, but he got thrown under the bus there to try and spin that that way, didn't he?
So it's not surprising then that he may have had a gutsful of the whole industry, really. So he was a former gun player manager. I mean, they've also got the Pies have also got the trade. We're going to talk about Collingwood in more detail in the game today against North Melbourne in the second hour. But they gave away that top pick, which is currently number two in this year's draft. They swapped that last year to GWS for pick 24 and 30. Now, Joey, would you rather have pick two in this year's draft or pick 24 and 30 in last year's draft?
I think I'd rather have pick two in this draft.
Nick Dacos or not, then if they still had that pick, they would have massive options this year to manipulate the order and try and get the best results. So, look, that hasn't worked out from clearly. They didn't think they'd be the second last side in the competition.
Why, if Ned Guy's had a gutful and apparently he decided in December last year, if that was the case, why then would he do this full season, which was the initial plan? And how's it only come out now, or why has it come out now?
Yeah, it's a very good question.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a very good question. So he's still going to be in the role until the mid-season draft. But Graham Wright, who...
Was that always the plan?
I think it's been an ongoing conversation.
Ongoing conversation.
Yeah. it would have been harsh for Collingwood or Ned to have made the decision straight after last year's trade period. Like, that wouldn't have been a good look. They botched the trade period, and then they essentially sack him, or he resigns after the trade. So they've let the course run a little bit, and now Wrighty's certainly going to take over the show for the moment. Whether they need another list manager to replace him, or whether Wrighty does the same job permanently, because he did that at Hawthorn, will certainly be interesting. But I think Ned is expecting another child. He's going to take some time out. He's moving house, etc. So... look, it's been a pretty intense time for him, I reckon.
Been.
So a bit of a break for him on a personal front, I reckon, is a good thing.
It's the Dead Set Legends Weekend Quiz. To see if you could save $500 off a solar power system, head to solarheart.com.au.
Yeah, give us a call right now, 1-333-53, to get involved with our Solar Heart quiz. $200 up for grabs to see if you could save yourself $500 off a solar power system. Head to solarheart.com.au. 1-333-53 if you want to get involved in the quiz. As we know, it's last man or woman standing, all about sport, but you do get one lifeline for one question only. If you can't answer Joey's first question, get to use your smart switch lifeline to get a different question, but on the same topic. Joey, got your questions in hand.
Ready to go. We've got Josh online. Good morning, Josh.
G'day. How are we going?
Good, mate. Good. All right. We'll start with some rugby and then we'll get into the footy. So question one, the Melbourne Storm defeated South Sydney on Thursday night. They flogged them, but what was the score?
Oh, was that 48-0?
Oh, almost feel like Josh.
That was the other game last
night.
And
you had the smart switch lifeline up your sleeve. It was close to 48 zip, not quite. We've got Luke from Langwarrin. G'day, Luke. Do you know the score Thursday night, Melbourne Storm at South Sydney? How much did the Storm win by? What was the score?
I think it was 50-0.
Yeah, well
it
done.
Was.
Good man, Luke. Question two. Today, which Collingwood great plays? Is he a great? He's a great. He's a star. Which Collingwood star plays game 250?
Is it still side?
Good well man. Done. Good man. I like it. I like it.
What if he retired today? What would you?
He would be a club great.
Yep.
Question three.
Such a fun game.
And there's nothing wrong with being a club great. That's still pretty good.
That's you're a club great.
Because that's your category. It's a Lee Montagne category.
All right. Question three. The Collingwood list manager that Jay-Z just spoke about before that was... Well, we're not going to say sacked. He chose to leave.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Ned Guy.
Well, good. Good. Okay, two to go. Now we're going to do a little cricket question. Which former Australian great batsman contracted COVID over in India?
I think it was Mr. Cricket, Mike Hussey.
Yes, good man.
I love that he threw the nickname in there as well.
Mr. Cricket.
Yeah. All right, this is for the $200, Lukey. So just you've still got your smart switch lifeline up your sleeve as well, so you can go to that if need be. The showdown is tonight, obviously Port Adelaide v Adelaide. Robbie Gray, who I think is a superstar and is Port Adelaide's greatest ever player.
Yep.
How many showdown medals has he won?
Oh, this is tough.
This is tough, but you've got to
slide. I thought you were going to ask who was the player.
I have to use the lifeline.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right. I won't answer yet how many he's won. It's amazing how many he's won.
Yep.
Okay, this is it. This is for the chocolates. Which father... Okay, I've got to... Collingwood v Kangaroos game today. Who is the father coaching against his son in the game today? Who is the coach? Coaching against his son.
Last name, Noble.
Name either his son or the dad.
I've gone blank.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty straightforward name. Yeah. Noble,
think of the Bible, mate.
Bible. David Noble.
Yes! Sorry, Rosie, I was just singing to myself there.
Very stressed, Luke.
Well done, mate. David Noble, of course. He's coaching against his son today.
John,
John Noble. Would you feel a little bit bad, you reckon, David Noble?
Can you go and give John a hard time? Can you really physically target the wingman out there?
Well done, Luke. Hey, we have to ask you, what are you going to do with your $200, mate?
I'll probably take the fiancé out for a nice dinner.
Don't lie. You're not going to do that. What are you really going to do?
Not at all, but thanks for saying the right thing on radio. Well done.
He will. He said he will.
You will.
Luke. Stop it.
Well done, Luke.
Luke. Maybe Luke is a nice guy. Yeah. Hey, let's get into something else. Melbourne United, they're on fire. Highlighted by an 11-game winning streak. Extraordinary stuff. And this afternoon is the Melbourne Throwdown. So United taking on the Phoenix. And one of their best, Mitch McCarron, joins us now. Mitch, great to have you on the show. First of all, we heard this week about the selfless attitude that this club has taken on this year. And it's obviously working for you guys.
Morning, guys. Yeah, it's been great this season, having so many guys contribute on a regular basis. And, we're pretty lucky to have this kind of group that wants to sacrifice continuously every week.
Now you've got a massive game tonight, Mitch, but tell us about the rivalry with Perth. Like, they've just been a phenomenally successful...
Probably the most successful sporting team in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys have got a genuine thing going with them. And I know clearly you respect them, but is it a bit edgy between you guys?
Yeah, I think it's always a little bit edgy for anyone playing Perth just because of their success every single year. It's,
yep.
You know that if you don't bring it, they'll beat you. And they've proven that time and time again. And they've also shown that they only get better as the season gets on. And as you start to get closer to finals, they'll make a change on their roster to sharpen up and ready themselves for another championship run, which they've done again now, adding Magne. So, I think you've always got to have an edge to you when you play the Wildcats.
Speaking of an edge, you've got to have an edge against your crosstown rivals now, Southeast Melbourne, tonight. Yep. A big one. That's at 5:30 at John Cain Arena. It's a huge game for Southeast Melbourne, isn't it? Because they're just hanging on to the top four by a game. Have you enjoyed the rivalry with them this year?
Yeah, I think it's been a fun one. You know, they've had a lot of disruption, as have we, with injuries and illness. And, you know, we're expecting that again tonight. They might not have a full roster. But that last time that happened when we played them, they got up and beat us because of, you know, other guys stepped up and contributed big time. So it's just as big of a game for us, to be honest. You know, we're coming off a loss and we want to retain top spot. So I'm sure they're looking for a win to help their season, but we're also trying to push forward towards the finals.
And top spot is going to be important, particularly if Perth are the team. You know, you want to have that home court advantage if you are going to meet Perth in a grand final series.
Yep.
Hey, Mitch, I wanted to ask you about the length of the season. Where do you think it's at with the length of the NBL season? Because I've looked 27 games, still got a few more to go. It seems to be sort of just dragging on this last little period. Are you happy with the length of season considering there's sort of the nine teams, or do you think it can be shortened a little bit?
Well, I wasn't happy that we had to wait so long for season.
Yeah, that's true.
Good point.
So I think that it's more just like when it occurred. You know, it was such a long off season.
Yeah.
For everybody, and I know that had an effect walking into a shortened preseason because of the limitations and restrictions in multiple states. People just couldn't play basketball. We couldn't practice the way we normally could. So I think it's not so much the actual length of the season, more so the timing. And of course, you know, we chucked an NBL Cup in there, which added eight more games and spanned over a few weeks, which pushed it out again.
Mitch, we were talking earlier about our Mother's Day plans earlier, and I'm not sure that Joey's as prepared as he could be. Sort of had a big week. What are your thoughts, mate? You got something special planned for tomorrow? I know you got a big game to focus on tonight. Maybe a bigger game to play tomorrow. What are your thoughts, mate? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. We'll have to see what my wife wants to get up to. I haven't planned too much. We just had a newborn, so the day-to-day is really dependent on him.
Yeah.
So, we're just kind of going off what he wants to do, and, but I'm sure we'll find a way to relax and enjoy it.
How is dad life? How's it going? How old's your little youngster, and what's her name?
So Oslo James, we're absolutely loving it. It's obviously tiring, and especially for Abby, my wife, having to get through each and every night. But she's a trooper. She's doing amazing, and we're super happy.
So have you moved yourself into another bedroom on the night before games yet, Mitch, or are you really prioritizing your own sleep as an athlete, of course?
No, I have. I had some great advice from teammates to find a spare room the night before a game.
Yeah.
And like I said, Abby's been great with all of that, enabling me to get as much rest as I can the night before the game. And hopefully we can just keep carrying on and the sleep gets more and more.
Yeah, it does, mate. Don't worry. We've all had the newborns, and Joey's got one at the moment as well, and it's brutal to begin with, and it only gets better and better. So you get yourself some sleep. Make sure your wife gets a little few hours kipped tomorrow as Mother's Day, and hopefully can get the win for her tonight.
I'll try. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch McCarron from Melbourne United. Of course, the throwdown. Melbourne United up against the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. 5:30 tonight, John Cain Arena. Tickets at ticketek.com.au. After 11, our Round 8 preview, Josh Adokar from the Storm. Limo's going to join us. And you've got to pick one up your sleeve as well, Jay-Z, that you want to throw at Joey.
Have a think about this, Joey. Who would you rather pick one, Zach Merritt or Josh Kelly? Tell us your answer after the break.
Ooh, marinating.
Can I give one back at Jay-Z?
Oh, yes, you can.
I want to give you one back.
Go.
If you were Carlton and you've only got enough money to pay to keep one player at Carlton.
Harry Mackay
or Sam Walsh. Think about it. Who would you keep?
Jeez.
You can only keep one of the two.
All right.
We love a pick one right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
Come on, Emma. Switch on now. Concentrate.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
A big second hour coming up, including Josh Adokar, the Fox.
The Fox.
From the Storm after his six-try effort on Thursday night, which was remarkable stuff, boys.
I think you're at St Kilda great, Joe. You are a superstar analyst. And if you missed any of the first hour, Joey did call the Geelong resurgence this week, and it happened against the reigning Premier last night, mate. So you're seeing them like an absolute pumpkin on that front at the moment in terms of your tactics and your game styles. I know you're very good at that sort of stuff. But I gave you a try to give you a curly question. Who would you rather? If you'd only have one of these two players, who would you have? Josh Kelly from GWS or Essendon's Zach Merritt, who says in a very good piece from Mark Robinson in the Herald Sun today that he hasn't made up his mind yet on his future. He says, encouraged by the first 2 months at Essendon, he wants to see what happens over the next 2 months because the place was a bit of a basket case.
Mess.
I actually saw them do that interview, Mark Robinson, because Zach Merritt lives around the corner from me and he comes to my local cafe and Mark Robinson strolled into the cafe. You know, what are you doing here, Robbo? He said, I'm just having a bit of an interview with Zachy Merritt. It's a good get.
Good article. Good piece.
I love Zach Merritt. I'd take Zach Merritt in a heartbeat.
Zachy over Josh Kelly.
I love Zach Merritt. I think he's an absolute star. And if he was... If he was in a team that had some inside mids that could complement him, I think he'd be even better than he is at Essendon. Mm-hmm. Because really, they don't have those sort of inside mids to feed out the handball to him to really use his skill. I love Zach Merritt. I'd take him in a heartbeat.
150 games for Zach today. And speaking of which, coming up at 12 o'clock today, the Giants face the Bombers. That's going to be hosted by James Brayshaw, Wayne Carey, Bernie Vince, Damian Barrett and Billy Brownless. They're guests on The Rub today. Giants coach Leon Cameron and also Geelong Zach Tui after their big win last night.
That's a very interesting game too, the Giants in Essendon.
Yep.
It's a 50-50.
Flip of the coin.
Flip of the coin, I reckon. Now, I asked you one.
Yeah,
if Carlton... It was a good one,
it's
wasn't
a good
it?
Question.
Yeah, thank you. If Carlton only had enough money to keep one of these two players, who would you keep, Sam Walsh or Harry Mackay?
Very good question, Joey. Tough one. Now, if I got if I'm coaching Carlton in a grand final tomorrow, first pick would be Sam Walsh. You know that he's turning up on the big stage. He's a bloke who could win a Brownlow. You know,
he does love Harry, doesn't he?
And I do love Harry. Like, this is a tricky question, Joey.
This isn't for a grand final tomorrow. This is to keep one of them at the club. Like a 5-year deal.
Yeah. Both. Well, if I want to win premierships, then I need Sam Walsh captaining the team, showing up every day, setting the standard, gut running. I love Harry, and I don't know how I'm going to fill his place.
I can't believe you're letting Harry Mackay walk out the door.
Oh, you're such a traitor, Jay-Z.
I asked you.
Quick one. I'll take Sam Walsh. Now, what's the best chocolate compliment? Like a choc orange, Emma? Would you have choc orange, choc mint, choc berry? If you're going to pick something that's choc something, what's your favourite?
This is really in my wheelhouse.
Is it?
Just believe me.
I thought it was.
My favourite?
Yep.
Chocolate with pineapple.
Chocolate pineapple.
I've never heard of it. It is the best chocolate in the snack pack by a country mile,
really?
Like the Flemington Strait. Absolutely. They do make a block of it, but there's not enough. I have a real grudge with this. I need to get in touch with Cadbury.
I didn't even know they made that.
Mate, it's unbelievable. Get your lips around that.
They don't even have that in the supermarket. I'm going to try and find it this week.
Oh, Rosie, snack pack. Yeah.
Talking earlier, if you could pick one artist that you wanted to see acoustic only, who would you watch? Who do you think is better acoustic than sort of live with the normal bells and whistles?
We chatted about this before. Off air, you said Paul Dempsey.
It'd be my
wholeheartedly
pick.
Agree from Something for Kate. Neil Finn.
Yes.
Love Crowded House, but him on his own.
Yes.
So I've got him all to myself.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that a part of the deal?
Yeah, that's a good answer. I mean, you'd fall in love with him, a little intimate setting.
Oh, yeah.
Have fallen in love.
Jeez, 5 minutes into the second hour, we've really covered some ground already.
We have.
Holy dooly. Chuck pineapple. Just try it and believe me, you will be converted.
Have to try that.
Pineapple lumps. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good. Hey, let's get back into the footy instead of talking about Cadbury chocolate. This afternoon, it is, the stakes are really high for Collingwood as they face North Melbourne. This evening, both Jay-Z and Joey on the call on Triple M. Where are we at here, boys? Because the pressure has been mounting over the last couple of weeks on Nathan Buckley, and now it seems sky high.
Yeah, it's the biggest story in Melbourne town at the moment, certainly the coaching future of Nathan Buckley. And they were poor last week. I expected them, and I think they should have beaten Gold Coast. I know who were very competitive. You don't want to take it away from the Suns, but they were poor last week. And they play a young North Melbourne team today, Joey. And I just think if they go down today... the Pies. I think it's the writing's on the wall for the coach, and they're going to go down that path of getting a clean slate and a refresh. So if the turnaround is going to happen, and Bucks needs a turnaround, It has to start today. Now, Jordan Ngoe last week was an absolute passenger. For a bloke who knocked back $1 million a year offer from North Melbourne a couple of years ago, the Pies got him fit over summer. They inject him into the on ball and he just had absolutely no impact. If you Nathan Buckley today, Joey, where are you playing Jordan Ngoe? And as was reported throughout the week, are you putting the heat on him? Because that was the report that his teammates put the acid on him, said, we want more from you. The club denied that a little bit. What's going to be the story for Jordan Ngoe?
I'm still a little bit more sympathetic than a few others. I mean, everyone's starting to sink the boots into Jordan Ngoe, which I think's a little bit unfair because, I mean, he's not Dustin Martin. We said he plays a similar role. Now, yes, Petrarca's gone past him. Toby Green's gone past him. But even Scott Penderbury was on TV last week talking about how hard it is to play in Collingwood's forward line. He said, I would not want to be a forward in our team. Darcy Moore, what's been the narrative around Darcy Moore the last couple of weeks playing as a forward? Oh, poor Darcy Moore. Not even Wayne Carey could get a kick in the forward line the way Collingwood moved the ball. So why are we so hard on Jordan Ngoe when we all know that Collingwood's ball movement over the last 12 to 18 months has been very, very poor and it's very hard for a forward. Jordan Ngoe has been in 8 one-on-one contests in 6 games this year. To put that in perspective, Daniel Rioli at Richmond's been in 19.
Yep.
Jack Higgins at St Kilda has been in 18.
Not a lot of supply.
One-on-ones.
But what about
so Jordan Ngoe is not getting a one-on-one. They're not kicking the ball in one-on-one. That's where his strength is.
What about when he's in the guts, though? He had 13 possessions to three-quarter time. Impact.
But he's playing as a forward. He's playing as a mid that goes forward. I think they need to play him inside the forward 50. And I think they need to structure up to allow Jordan Ngoe to use his strengths. Isolate him, get some separation, get some speed on the ball.
Yep.
We saw Geelong last night, speed on the ball. You get it inside to your forwards, let your forwards get to work. Yep. I think Jordan has been a little bit of a victim of the ball movement of Collingwood. I'd love to see him inside 50 today. I'd love to see Collingwood, now that they've got nothing to lose, they can play with a bit of freedom, move the ball quicker. And I guarantee you, if Jordan Ngoe gets some looks one-on-one, he will kick goals.
Nothing to lose. I think
it's the opposite, isn't it, really?
The coach's future is riding it. So we all had ours. So what do you think? Did you think they need a clean slate? Or do you think they should back in Nathan Buckley? If you're the new president, Mark Corder, and you know you've got a challenge coming from Tommy Brown's old man, Jeff Brown, what do you think should happen with the coach?
I don't know enough about Nathan Buckley behind how good of a coach he is Monday to Friday and what he's doing for that football club. So I don't mind if Collingwood want to re-sign him and commit him to the rebuild, or if they want a clean slate and start fresh. It's got to be what they think's best for the footy club. I actually understand why they're taking their time. There's a lot of talk about Graham Wright saying it's going to be the back end of the year because Graham Wright is the one who's going to make the recommendation to the board. He only got into the football club in February, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So he needs time to actually assess Nathan Buckley, work out how's the development program, how's the list management strategy, how's Bucks getting the best out of this group. So they need time to make that decision. So I'm actually a bit more comfortable than a lot of other people to let it play out and then make the right decision for the footy club on whether he should be the senior coach or not.
The past few years, they've been better going slow. So last year, they were the slowest D50 to attacking 50 team in the competition. They tried to get quicker this year. They're up to ninth. There's been a more dynamic play. They're going more up the middle. And Nathan Buckley said this week that they're going to change. They're going to revert back to the old game style. Well, do you like that kick and catch that they play, or do you want to see him take it on?
No, they need to take the game on, but you've even had the but they've got their kicking skills at the moment are letting them down. That's what's costing them. It's not necessarily playing quicker. It's that they're missing targets.
Yep.
So you've got to be able to hit some and even some of their better kicks. So they just need to execute their skills better. You have to move the ball quicker. You can't keep going slow and expect to play better football. They've just got to execute better.
Your man, Ross Lyon, I've got enormous respect for him. Sitting next to him in the Triple M box over the past couple of years, he blows me away with the way he reads the game. Yep. He's just 7 steps ahead of where I am all the time. And I've really enjoyed his expertise and insight. Do you think he's going to coach again?
Do I think he's going to coach again?
Yep.
I did think no. Now I'm starting to think it's more possible. But I don't know. I don't know. But it seems like maybe there is a little flicker that he might coach again. I would have thought he was a no. But
he's one of the best 18 coaches in the country.
Yes, absolutely
still.
He is. He's one of the best 18 coaches. So he would be getting phone calls.
He says he's feeling a bit fresher.
That's what I'm reading between the lines.
Yeah, that phone's going to start ringing.
You sit next to him. Do you think that he'll coach again?
He's sharp as a tack. Like, he just reads it so clearly. So, look, I'd be thinking he's going to get another opportunity.
We'll get some phone calls.
At AFL. You'd be mad not to call him.
Yep. Absolutely. Watch this space. Well, let's talk about the Storm because they are on fire. A scoreline of 50-0 is something quite epic. But when you get there with six tries from one man, the Fox, Josh Adokar, it's all the more special.
Adokar coming through. Adokar got there. That's a wonderful Melbourne try. Adokar looming up. Adokar gets it, taken, wow. But slides over. Grant the dummy. He's got Hines looming up. Grant goes for the corner. Oh, he's got to Adokar. Adokar's got three. Here's to Adokar. Here he goes. Adokar has four. One, two, three, four. All before half time.
Unbelievable.
On it goes Olam.
I mean, it was pretty impressive by Josh, but excited? I reckon MG's commentary was maybe even better. A modern-day effort that will be difficult to top. Glad to say that Josh joins us now. Congratulations on the win, mate, and on your personal effort. Tell us, how did you feel when you got that sixth over the line?
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. I didn't think how serious it was at the time until everyone started coming up to me and said that you broke a record, this and that. But look, I couldn't have done it without my teammates. Most of the trials are just being at the right spot at the right time. So, yeah. Pretty crazy the last couple of days, to be honest.
Yeah. Josh, this is not the radio interview to be humble, mate. You've just scored six tries. Forget the humility for a second. Now take us into the locker room at halftime because you've got four under your belt. You're absolutely hot to trot. Surely you just get around your teammates going, hey, boys, I'm on today. Just look for me out on the wing. Nah. It is fill-up time for the Fox. Surely that was the conversation.
No, I was just... I was struggling to get a couple of tries at the start of the season just because my teammates were scoring a lot of tries through the middle. Everyone was just scoring a lot of tries, and I was just lucky enough to be in some good shape going into the game. I've been blown away by all the messages and all the support and all that kind of stuff just over the last couple of days. It's pretty hectic.
Oh, mate, it should be. It's pretty special. Yep. Not too often does anyone score six tries. Yeah, something like that. No one scores six tries in a game. Jay-Z asked about halftime. What about late in the game? Because was there a bit of talk, maybe not from you, but from your teammates, like, let's just keep flicking it to the left-hand side of the park. Let's see if we can get the Fox another one. Because it looked that way to me watching it late, that they just kept flicking it out to the left thinking, let's see if we can get another one for him. Was that the case?
The centre partner, Jazzy Oldham, he's like, bro, I'm going to give you another try. Why stop going away from the side that's...
It was working.
On the night, so...
And he was more excited than you. Olam was more... I was watching him every time you scored. Olam, he was more excited than you. He was loving it every time you hit the try line.
I know, man. It was pretty special, mate, just because we trained so hard and working on all those combinations, all that kind of stuff. And, it was just good to see that all that hard work's been paying off. So I think that's why we get so excited after scoring a couple of tries, especially on the left edge. With Munster, Kenny Bromwich and Jazzy Hillman and myself, we've got a really special bond. And, it was a special night. It was a special night for us here.
We're speaking of the fastest man in footy and the man of the moment, Josh Adokar. His six try knockout performance throughout the week. What about the coach, Craig Bellamy? What is your reaction? I mean, he's always preaching team and boring stuff like that and defence and all that.
He probably still got
the spray for something.
What did the cockroach say after the game? Did he give you some love?
He gave me a bit of love. It was a bit blunt. It was come up to me and said, "Oh man, proud of you." But it wasn't. Just didn't like. I don't know.
Don't do it again.
That's just Craig. So didn't expect anything less.
Hey, at the moment, you mentioned a couple of your teammates who are playing great, but a couple to mention as well, Harry Grant and Brandon Smith, two very different number nines, but both really impactful. They both seem like absolute ripper blokes, and they're having a great impact on your side at the moment, Josh.
Yeah, definitely. We lost probably the best player to ever play a game this season, but I think Harry and Brendan are doing a terrific job at the moment. Brendan's been starting and Harry's coming on when Everyone's tired, so everyone's just flowing off the back of their game. And like I said before, everyone's scoring a lot of tries off the back of their organisation and their running. So, yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure so far, yeah.
And the Storm haven't missed a beat without Cameron Smith. But just speaking of Cameron Smith, have you touched base with him? Josh, have you spoken to him, texted him? What's he up to in retirement?
He's been quiet, hasn't
he? Yeah, he has been quiet. What's he up to in retirement?
Oh, he's been in the game for about 40 years or something. Yeah. I think everyone's just, just not contacted him, and I think he's just on holidays up in Brisbane somewhere. Or
down getting his early bird special, Josh.
Having a few beers, yeah. Just chilling out, yeah.
I'm sure we'll catch up. We go to Waters next week for two and a half weeks, so maybe he'll come in and see the boys, and everyone's really close here at the Storm, and I'm sure he'll come in because I think he stays at Logan up in Queensland. Yeah. I think he's staying at the Gold Coast, actually, so... he'll probably pop past.
Mm. And Josh, so I tell you, the Storm were obviously excited and loved your form the other night. I think the Canterbury Bulldogs were equally happy, even if not a little bit more excited. You're off there next year, and it's been spoken about a lot. So are you into your teammates' ears about, and I don't necessarily want you to do this because we love the Melbourne Storm, but are you into your teammates' ears about potentially joining you up at another club next year? Are you allowed to have that chat in the locker room or not?
Yeah, the boys, we always have, we always joke about it, this and that, and, the boys understand why I wanted to move to Sydney, and, I'm pretty excited to move back, just spend a lot more time with my family, and,
yep.
I've got two kids now, and I just want my kids to grow up with their family. Yeah. I've been down here for 5 years now, and I just think it's the right time, and, I always have that connection at the Melbourne Storm. I've got lifelong friends, down here at the Storm, and so I'm sweet as.
We're going to miss you, mate. We love you, and we're certainly going to miss you. But continue to run right, can you, for the rest of the season?
Nah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it, Josh, and good luck for the next little while. The next couple of weeks, to be honest, boys, they look like a picnic for the Storm. It's looking
really?
Pretty good for them.
I
reckon
really well
they've
again.
Got a four-week fill-up headed there.
We spoke about the Perth Wildcats being one of the most successful sporting clubs in Australia. The Storm are not far behind, are they?
No.
They are amazing.
They are on fire at the moment as well. We appreciate Josh's time because the Storm do have a 3-day layoff at the moment. So he's given up a couple of minutes of his holiday
to
have
him
a chat
and Georgie,
to us.
Georgie Porter came through with the goods and he got him.
How do you celebrate six tries, Joey? 16 beers or?
Probably a few beers. A 3-day break too. I would have thought they'd had a few beers.
Oh, yeah. I reckon there's a few more to come as well. Hey, we're going to talk with Limo next. He's jumping in the studio. He's got something in common with Joey this weekend. I wonder what it could be next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Dead Set Legends. Triple M.
Joey, Jay-Z and Emma.
Now on this sort of psycho scale of 1 to 10, where do you fit on the sterilisation of stuff? Because I found,
if you're wondering. I've got a 5-minute rule.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Joining us right now, Limo, great to have you in the studio, and you've got another busy day with your son.
Hello, team. Yes, so we went to Auskick this morning, and all he could do at Auskick was sing, I'm in the Wiggle House. We're in the Wiggle House. Because we are going to see the Wiggles today.
Hey.
1 o'clock at Rod Laver, and he could not be more excited.
Yes, how exciting. You see them in real life.
Are you as excited, though, Limo?
Look, I'm happy to be going.
Yep.
Because I'm taking him and we're taking a friend of ours. She's coming with her son, so the two boys are the same age. Mm. So to give my wife an afternoon off, because I've got a little bit of work to do with the missus at the moment.
In the doghouse?
Oh. Well, because it's Mother's Day on Sunday,
as
most people know.
Mm.
Right? Kel rings me, Emma. She rings me yesterday and says, so what are we doing Sunday?
Yep.
She's had to give me a prompt.
Yep.
And I've gone... she goes, Mother's Day. And I've gone, I'm hosting the president's function for Hawthorne at the MCG.
No.
And I've said, hey.
Do you want to come along?
Do you want to come to the footy?
Yes.
And Emma, there is not a single person you'll meet in the world who's less into the footy than my wife.
I said, come to the footy.
And she says, what about our son? And I said, yeah, and I'll sort that out. No, and she said, yeah. So I ring our babysitter who's working, right? So you know who I've got? Our babysitter's husband is coming with their six-month-old twins.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so twins.
The babysitter's husband is bringing the six-month-old twins and looking after our son while I take my wife to a game of football she doesn't want to attend.
Happy Mother's Day. You've won that. You have won that.
And can I ask you this? What do I do then? I can get anyone's advice. You went, I said to her the other day, what would you like for Mother's Day? And her response was, you don't have to get me anything. You don't have to get me anything.
Do you know what she wants? She wants some relax time. Like, you don't have to get anything physical.
That's why I'm taking Noah to the Wiggles tomorrow to get her relax time.
A little bit of time out. They never mean that, Joey.
When they say, don't have to get me anything.
It's a fundamental difference between men and women. When men speak, we attach the dictionary meaning to all of the words we say.
Shut up, Emo.
When they say you need the cryptic clue, you got to have friends.
Whereas you've got to put it into some sort of matrix and send it through a supercomputer and hope that it spits out what the meaning is.
What do they really mean?
Yeah. I feel attacked. Very much so, Rosie. I feel seen.
Anyway. Just keep digging, Limo. Keep digging.
Hello to my wife. If she's listening. Hey, guys, now what I did want to talk about just quickly, running out of time here, but did you see the pictures of the Donnybrook player last weekend?
Yeah, we did them on the WhatsApp group during the week.
Oh, my God. Yep. Now, if you haven't seen these pictures... Yep.
Can you Google them? I hope not.
You are, well, possibly. Although, careful what you put into your Google search. So there's a guy playing for Donnybrook, has his jocks ripped in some fashion early in the game, and then his, you know, his business...
He plays the game without the jocks, he's just footy shorts.
He's just dangling out of his shorts.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's about 30 photos of him. I tell you what, he got a few touches.
He did. Every kick.
Yeah. He was around. I think his old fella was named in the best as well. The opposition captain almost called 19 players at one point. But it's literally hanging out the bottom of his shorts for the rest of the game. Yeah. And he must have been pretty happy with it because he did nothing about it.
He didn't even look concerned.
He's a cult hero now with Donnybrook.
He's right in amongst it. I don't know if he's single, but there's a new Tinder profile pic for you. Right, with that
I'm that guy.
With that dangling out the bottom of the shorts.
Couldn't have been comfortable.
No.
You wouldn't have thought so.
It would have been really uncomfortable.
With that hanging. You know, many years ago when Mark Rusciuto was playing for the Crows against the West Coast Eagles in Perth, when we were doing Before the Game, he took a mark about 45 metres out from goal. And as he landed, it popped out the bottom of his shorts. And we awarded him Tool of the Week. And it was our first ever literal Tool of the Week. But very quickly, other great wardrobe malfunctions in the history of sport. Remember the Colombian women's cycling team?
No.
Where
no.
they had the
Not
skin.
To mind.
I can't say they come
But you might remember, if I tell you, they had the skin-coloured lycra and went from midriff to about halfway down the thigh.
Right. Right.
And it was not good to go with skin colour on the women's outfits.
Right.
From there. Google that one, see if you can find it. Plenty of swimmers splitting their their outfits. Marathon runners soiling themselves. There's plenty of that. Matt Shervington, do we count that as a wardrobe malfunction?
Shervo.
Can you remember Corey Enright having his shorts ripped off at the Gabba?
Yep, that's right.
And he actually played in his jocks for about 5 minutes. So let's have a listen to the commentary of that.
And here's one of them. He lost his tacks. Corey Enright. Gotcha. Yeah, he's going to get a kick.
And the crowd roared.
He actually got a possession in his jocks.
Yeah, that's right.
At the Gabba. And the greatest of all time, Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl.
Have we even got the true story in that? Was that actually set up or was it?
Yeah, he apologised in his biography or something recently, didn't he?
Yeah, there was no way that was an accident.
Surely that was set up.
It was set up, yes. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Bras don't rip that easily.
No, that was a little bit of spin they threw on it later, but and good on them. We're still talking about it today.
That's right.
They're my top five wardrobe malfunctions.
I'll enjoy the Wiggles.
I'm off to the Wiggles.
Can you send me a text and just give me a heads up? If there's anything I need to know or be aware of, can you just send me a text, please, and just say, just be careful of this.
I will text you from the Wiggle House. Yeah. And I don't think you can drink there, which is good, because I spilled half a beer on a kid when I went to see Matilda. It was not good.
Maybe pour a few in now if you need to. Just get yourself ready. Okay.
All right,
Limo, we appreciate your time. We'll chat next week.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Hey, this is the segment everyone loves, Emma. It's when you give your racing tips, because even though all the good races for the time being, well, there's some races in Adelaide that are pretty good.
We'll go there today.
Even last week, even though we don't have the big races anymore, and you weren't as confident, you thought, nah, these horses are only so-so. You gave us one tip. Let's take a listen to how it went.
Let's go with race 8. Number 7, Spring Choice.
And now Spring Choice on the outside dropped on them at the 200. Spring Choice went to the front from Approach Discreet, Dirty Deeds late, but it's all Spring Choice coming clear, and Spring Choice is going to win it. Spring Choice first from Dirty Deeds.
You just can't help picking winners, Em. You just
Mate,
can't
try my
stop.
Best.
Very, no, very good. Well done. Thank you for that tip too.
I had a couple of lean weeks, but I feel like I was back in form last week, so that is good news. Should we take a look at the racing today?
Yes, please.
Caulfield. Race 2, number 1, Portland Jimmy at $5 is my best at Caulfield today. Just
wow,
like,
to beat Exelman, the $2 favourite.
Yeah, I don't mind a little, you know, $5, I think, in good form. But let's go to Adelaide, because that's right, Morphettville, the great racing on today. In the Guineas, best Friedman runner of the day, Royal Mile, race 7, number 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, that's in the Derby. Race 8, number 8, Agreeable in the Guineas at $4.40. I think the filly could get that done. And then in the Derby, race 7, number 2, Royal Mile. Although it's a very
horse.
Tough race.
Friedman's horse.
Yep. So Agreeable is the Friedman horse, yes. Oh, okay.
In Adelaide, race 7, number 2, and then race 8, number 8.
And now you guys know I have to, because you didn't like it when my horse South Parade kept winning and I forgot to keep telling you guys, my other horse other horse is running today at Caulfield in race 8. It's going to, what number is it? Race 8, number 8, Hengrown.
There's a bit of something there with all the eights
Camelot,
today.
It's a Camelot colt. Danny O'Brien really likes it. It's a good chance today. Good each way odds. Just have a little bit each way on it. Race 8, number 8. Don't say I didn't warn you.
It's up against the good one in
Mozzie Monster. Yep. Yeah, it's a tough race. Had one win on debut at Pakenham, and now it's come to the big smoke. But keep an eye on that one. Have a little bit each way on Hengrown.
Feels like a Quinella, doesn't it?
Does feel like a Quinella.
Race 8, number 8 at Caulfield, but also race 8, number 8 in
Morphettville. That's right. That should make it easy. And what about your very slow horse, Jay-Z? What's the latest on that? We haven't heard much about your donkey.
So it's sort of, it finished last and they dropped it in grade. It finished last. It dropped another grade. Then finished last. Dropped it in grade. Well, it turns out it's sore too. It had a tendon problem.
Oh, that's the problem.
This whole time. So,
sure it is.
Yeah, I think it's retired, and I think that's a good thing.
It's a good result.
It's a good result.
It's a pet for someone.
Yeah, for everyone. So I think that their trainer's daughter really liked it more than I did. And now it's a farm horse. Yeah. So
good. Nice.
Thank you, Southern Yankee. And
did you get a lot of fun out of that horse?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Yeah, it kept finishing well back.
Yeah, good time. Thanks for your company. We've had a great show. Josh Adokar, what an absolute ripper he is, scoring 6 tries on Thursday night. And also Mitch McCarron, the Melbourne Derby up against the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix this afternoon at 5:30. You can go get your tickets for that as well. Hey, let's do this.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
You got the new ball, Emma?
Oh, I love a supermarket spell because it's something that we can all relate to. Mm-hmm. My children love a blueberry, and give me a spell, the price of them at the moment, $10 a punnet.
What?
Just seems like extortion.
Yeah.
Huh?
So.
$10 a punnet for, maybe, I don't know, 50 blueberries. Give me a spell. That's just too much. They're going to have to go hungry, my children.
Yep. That's fair where enough. You just move on to a different berry.
Yeah, we've moved on to the strawberries. They're in season. They're a lot cheaper.
Your $3.50 areas, not your $10 blueberry areas.
Quick one to my mate. We're just talking off air about if we've got any holidays planned. Yeah. We're meant to go to Byron Bay later in the year with one of my good mates and his wife. And then we've been waiting to book. Yeah. And he came back to us the other day and we said, why haven't we booked yet? Oh, I just bought a caravan, so I'm not going on holidays anymore with you.
Give me a spell.
Oh, Steve Warber, you know who you are.
Oh, his name, man.
We thought we were going to go to Byron Bay together, and now he's bought a caravan. And
maybe he's got a Byron Bay in his caravan, though. Is that not an option?
Potentially, that's an option. But, it's flattening. But anyway.
Now you just got to go by yourself.
Got to go with that. That's all right. That's nice.
That's right. Hey, peeps, we bought a new bed recently, which is super comfortable. Absolutely loving it. But with it, we got the new sheets, the new pillows and all that. But we're assured that the stonewashed sheets are the most comfortable sheets. Have you experienced the stonewashed sheets
anymore?
So did I. They're sort of a bit rougher. Give me a spell. It's like sleeping in a Hessian bag. These are the best sort of top of the range sheets. And Is it a linen kind of fabrication?
Yeah.
It is. It is scratchy. So give me a spell. Those things.
Yeah. Mate, just go to Egyptian cotton.
It's Triple M's Dead Set Legend of the Week.
Just a couple of little ones this week, but they've already been mentioned. Josh Addo-Carr for his six tries, first time in 71 years that's been done. The little Donnybrook footballer did get a mention for
the twig and berries.
Playing a game with no jocks on. And the little twig, he's now famous on social media. And also our girl Ash Barty, who we always keep an eye on. She's through to another final, the Madrid Open. She's won 16 straight games over on the clay. Leading up to the French Open, she's cherry ripe once again, our girl.
Well done, Ash.
It is amazing what she's been able to achieve over the last year with lockdown and everything as well. Coming up next, 12 o'clock, Giants and Bombers on at 2:10 this afternoon. James Brayshaw, Wayne Carey, Bernie Vince, Damian Barrett and Billy Brownless. They've got Giants coach Leon Cameron and Geelong's Zach Tui right here on 105.1 Triple M.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.